Welcome to Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation entitled Romans Road, the Jewish Paradox, Part 2, is presented by the Reverend Richard J. Dion.
Our Old Testament message comes to us from Isaiah chapter 65, 1 through 16. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call my name, I said, "Here I am, here I am." All day long have I held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in the wrong path, who follow their own imaginations, to a people who continually provoke me to my face, sacrificing in the gardens and burning incense on altars of brick, sitting among the graves, spending nights in secret places, eating their meat of pigs and polluted broth from their bowls. They say, "Keep to yourself. Do not come near me, for I am holier than you." Such people are smoke in my nostrils. They are fire that burns all day long. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but I will repay. I will pay it back to their laps, into their laps, both for your iniquities and for those of your fathers, says the Lord, because they burn incense on the mountains and scorned me on the hills. I will measure into their laps full payment for their former deeds. This is what the Lord says. As the new wine is found in a cluster of grapes, and men say, "Do not destroy it, for it contains a blessing," so I will act on behalf of my servants. I will not destroy them all, and I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and heirs from Judah. My elect will possess my mountains, and my servants will dwell there. Sharon will become a pasture for flocks, and the valley of Achor a resting place for herds, for my people who seek me. But you who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, who set a table for fortune and fill bowls of mixed wine for destiny, I will destine you for the sword, and you will all kneel down to be slaughtered, because I called and you did not answer. I spoke and you did not listen. You did evil in my sight and chose that in which I did not delight. Therefore, this is what the Lord God says. My servant will eat, but you will go hungry. My servants will drink, but you will go thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. My servants will shout for joy with a glad heart, but you will cry out with a heavy heart and wail with a broken spirit. You will leave behind your name and as a curse for my chosen ones, and the Lord God will slay you. But to his servants he will give another name. Whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the Lord, by the God of truth. And whoever takes an oath in the land will swear by the God of truth, and the former troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my sight. Isaiah 65, 1 through 16. Wow, what do you think of that? You listen to that, you hear that, you wonder, oh my, what is God saying? Is he just going to cast his people off and just ditch them and throw them by the wayside because they weren't paying any mind? Thus, and so we have this paradox with the Jews, the state of the Jews, and where they've been and what they've gone through. Now, this is Isaiah speaking of these things, how that these things would be so. And then we jump to the New Testament and Paul, who is a Jew of Jews, if you would, studied under Gamaliel, learned all about Judaism and all of its wonders and joys that it had to offer. He lived staunchly by the law, Paul did. He loved it. He longed to honor and please God. And when he saw these people walking by the way, who did it different, who said that they were God's people now. Did God do a new thing? No. You see, God didn't he wasn't trying to cast off his people, but he was bringing salvation. He said that through Abraham, all the descendants of the world would be blessed. That's you and I. Gentile Christians, if you would. The Gentiles who would call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. How is that so? Suddenly the Jews who were here in Rome, that Paul is addressing here in our scriptures. And that's what I want us to understand, is what God has, for Israel in the light of Pentecost, if you would, the birth of the church, as we like to call it. Was God doing a new thing? Did something new suddenly happen in the mind of God? Not at all. It was not new. For what's it say? It says, from the foundations of the world, Christ was crucified. Now, God was just making sure, and he set a pattern with the Jewish people in the earth so that that voice would go out into all the earth and proclaim the goodness of God, that there is a God in heaven above who rules and reigns above all. There is no doubt. He is God. They saw his reign when he sent Israel, when he sent them into the promised land to take it and to possess it, as they dispossessed nations. They dispossessed nations. You've got to understand that. They dispossessed nations and they took over. They were able to overtake And in the land, and Israel, the 12 tribes of Judah came about. Wow. Israel became a people, a nation that would be a formidable, how do I say the word I want to use? Not nemesis, but a force to be reckoned with, if you would, in the earth. And they, because they followed the Lord, they honored God. As they honored God, God honored them. And as they dishonored God and failed his word, what did he do? He scattered them. He scattered them to all the nations of the world. He scattered them about. And Israel hadn't been a nation in a long time. There were people, and all over the world, and you can find Jews probably in most countries in the world. But God had a plan, and he said he would bring them back together. He would bring them back together into their land, to possess their land, the land, the promised land that he gave them. And what was that promised land? Israel, Jerusalem. He promised he would give it back. And in 1948, Israel became a nation once again. And the Lord says, never again will they depart. Never again will they give that up. Never again will they be removed from that land. But you look at the landscape today, and what we see, as we see I believe it's 128 different nations that have set a precedent against Israel to tell them, no, this is not going to happen your way. It looks impossible that Israel can stay where they are and do what they're doing. It's impossible. But it's God's people. We're looking at politics. We're looking at things that are happening in the earth today. And we're looking at a message that God gave so long ago, and that Paul is telling us about here in the book of Romans chapter 10. And as we look at that, Romans chapter 10, and Paul is trying to say that he loves the Jewish people. And he does. And you got to remember, he grew up with them. He learned with them. He studied with them. Those were his comrades. Those were his friends. Those were his brothers, his sisters. Those were those that held on to faith and truth. And somehow met Damascus Road. And he met Jesus. And he finally figured it out. And now he wants that all Jews should be saved. All Jews should be saved. What's God's will? That none should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. And then Paul puts these things before us and says, how can these things be? And having learned the law as much as he had, we got to remember, he memorized the Torah from Genesis to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He memorized it. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time memorizing a paragraph. Some days. It's only by the grace of God, and I believe it's only because of the grace of God that I'm able to spew forth scripture in the manner that I can. And I give thanks to God at that, because it's God who brings it to my mind and brings it up. I believe that with all my heart, because he's written it on my heart. Didn't he say he would write his law upon our hearts? He did. And so now that God's will is being done in the earth, whether we like it or not, whether we, whatever side we might deem ourselves to be on, God will have a people. God will have a nation. And God will save whom he will save. Because he is God. He alone is God. And beside him, there is none other. There is no other God. There is no, God will have his way. When we learn to surrender and submit unto him, believing him at his word, how can these things be? How can salvation come? But we know salvation came. Salvation came in the promised Messiah, the Christ, born of a virgin. Paul had to wrestle with all of these things. Jesus, healing the sick, raising the dead, parting the waters, stilling the waters. Jesus being glorified. Remember up on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. If I'm right, they can correct me if I'm wrong. I want to be right on that. But up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and then the glory of the Lord came, and poof, who was left? This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. God the Father is pleased with God the Son. The Son who came to fulfill the law, because in him the law is fulfilled. See, we seek, and the Jews sought very often to raise up a righteousness of their own. Well, we 613 different laws governing how they ought to live and wash this and wash that, clean the outside of the glass, but inside was rotten. He called them white at one point, whitewashed sepulchers, because on the outside they were beautiful, but on the inside they were full of dead men's bones. But you see, God had set things in place. God had set it up, not because he wanted his people to be put out, but that he would graft them in by a wild branch. You and I grafted in to the vine. You and I grafted in to the vine. You and I grafted into the vine. the Jews would be provoked to jealousy. How? As we follow the ways of the Lord, as we do His bidding in the earth, as we proclaim His righteousness and not a righteousness of our own. You see, when we start to say, this is how you get saved, I'm telling you, this is how you do it. You know, and we think for a moment that our salvation was through something I did. My salvation has happened because of what He did. Now by faith, I receive that gift of eternal life that God had promised, and I'm justified. I stand before a heavenly Father, a holy God, as though I've never sinned. How can that be? Lord, it boggles my mind. And yet we deal with this process called sanctification in our lives as we walk this out through our lives. We deal with this process of sanctification and we wonder, how can, you know, how could I've got to perfect, you know, I've got to continue to grow. I've got to continue to learn the Word of God. I do. And He who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. See, He's not finished. He is not finished. He began it. He will finish it. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. He is all of that and so much more. So much more. And He put in Paul the love for the Jewish people that Paul said he could be accursed for his brethren's sake because he loved them. But God had a plan that He started way back when, and God's not finished with it yet. And He's not finished here. And He will accomplish what He said He would do. And so the beauty in these passages of Scripture that we read of Paul and how he says, you know, and he says what he reiterates what Isaiah said, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. Wow. God in His mercy saw fit to send His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And life meant to be abundant life, abundant living, not just life that just goes, you know, goes about through our quote unquote daily grind as we live it. Sometimes it seems like, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? But eye has not seen what God has laid up for those that believe. As we continue to rest, continue to trust, continue to hope yet in God. Because in Him is our healing. In Him is our wholeness. In Him is everything that we have need of. We are made whole in Him. Is that making sense to anyone? Is that making sense to you? Do you understand what the mighty love of God that has been shown unto us? That we don't have to worry that we're claiming this bull right or that bull right. I believe in the Levitical law. I believe in the law that has been set forth. I believe in it. I believe God said it because He was setting a pattern in the earth. Because He was setting it up. You remember, you know, you look back at the Old Testament law and, you know, you could be stoned for being an obstinate son. If a son was a drunkard and he was rebellious to his mother and his father, what'd they say about him? They said, grab him, take him by the head, take him outside the camp and stone him. Kill him. How could God do that? He's God. He's a God of love. God is love to fulfill all righteousness and fulfill all the law. And His Son died so that you and I might have life and that more abundantly. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. And in Christ, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Not by something I did, but by something he's done for me. He chose me before the foundations of the world. I could say that. He chose me. I didn't choose God. God showed me his love. When I was lost, despicable, despondent, and a mess, God came to me. God loved me. God enveloped me in a bundle of his love like no other love I've ever known. And because of that, I can know his joy. I can know his peace, which passes all understanding. And because of that, I just learn to rest in him. So with Paul and his love for his brethren, let us never lose sight of God's purpose in the earth. Let us always hold fast and be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of God, in the word of the Lord, always abounding in his word, always abounding in works that bring glory to God. Whatever you do, do it by faith. I don't care what it is you do during your day. You do what you do by faith. You eat by faith. You drive by faith. You walk by faith. You do by faith in what he has done for us. Now we're called to walk this out in faith, believing what God has started, he will finish. And we'll get more into the situation that the Jews had here in chapter 11, as we look at chapter 11. But these things were written for our admonition, for our understanding. These things were written that we might know him. Because Paul establishes whose righteousness in the book from chapters 1 through 8. God's righteousness, not a righteousness of our own. I'm righteous in him, righteousness. Because God is right. God will not be mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we are to conform to his image, the image of Christ in him, he in us, allowing him to breathe life, and that more abundantly in us.
You have heard Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation entitled Romans Road, The Jewish Paradox, Part 2, was presented by the Reverend Richard J. Dion. For more information, call the church office at 860-283-6181 or email the church at fbcp24@gmail.com. We wish you blessings on your day.